Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. It's Sports Talk Saturdays, hosted by Bruce Kessinger in Oakland. Scott Morgan Roth out there in South Florida. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it. 347-205-9631. Catch the archived version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever they subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of them, less of me, as I give it over to you guys to take over the show. Bruce, we'll give it over to you, how you can be found. Give it over to Scott. And man, oh man, I'm going to get the listeners' comments, my friends.
There
you okay,
boy.
Mark, thank you very much. I'm doing okay out here in stormy Oakland, the winds are going to be about 50, 60 miles per hour. Hopefully it won't be that way tomorrow for the Tampa Bay Niner game. I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. Scott, take it away.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Glad to be on again. Well, you know what? You want to see me? You want to hear me? Check out South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. And if you want to give me a Christmas gift or any gift, why don't you simply hit the subscribe button? It doesn't cost anything but a little tick. So South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, please subscribe. Then you can see myself, Mark Mancini, and all the rest of our broadcast. So Bruce, glad to be on here. Let's go out there and get some energy out here within the chat room, all right? Fair enough? We got a deal?
Okay. That's a deal.
All right.
I'll start with NFL football. I know we could go with the college thing. So out here, the question, of course, is can Brock Purdy handle the quarterbacking chores for the Niners and take us to the playoffs? I think so. I thought he played a very good game. I think that this is a very solid team. I think they like each other. They will rally around him. And really, this game, I think they can hold off Tampa Bay. The defense is good enough. It's not going to be a high-scoring game. The game plan should be tailored to Brock Purdy, and I thought he looked very poised. The thing that was sort of worrisome to me is that they did not pick up another quarterback. The Rams beat him to the punch on Baker Mayfield. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a short passing game. They're not going to be throwing the ball long. They do have playmakers. I'm looking at what I think is going to be a good game. What do you think?
Well, first of all, didn't they pick up Josh Johnson? I think the journeyman has been.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Josh Johnson. They didn't get him.
Well, yeah, unless you wanted to go ahead and volunteer for the job, I'm sure they could go ahead and put you in there. No big deal. So, well, you know what, Bruce? I've been actually on the Brock Purdy thing all week long with a lot of my shows. So let me break it down a couple of different ways. All right, you ready? So hang with me on this. All right, number one.
I will.
Okay, they talk about Mr. Irrelevant, okay? And I think that's all a bunch of hogwash. But here's why it is a lot of hogwash, Bruce, okay? Let's talk about the fact that this year's Mr. Irrelevant was a quarterback. So stick with me, Bruce, okay?
I'm sticking.
This year's Mr. Irrelevant was a quarterback, and guess what? At Iowa State with the Cyclones, this guy played in 48 games, 46 started, completed 993 passes, 1,461 attempts with a 67.6% percentage, and he had 12,170 yards, okay? And if that wasn't good enough, Mr. Irrelevant, and yes, I am being very, very sarcastic, okay, had 81 touchdowns versus 33 interceptions. And by the way, if it's worth anything, he only rushed 365 times, got 1,177 yards, and tack on 19 touchdowns. So to answer your question, can he handle the Buccaneers? Absolutely, man. Come on. Get with it. Yeah, come on. This is not an old normal Mr. Irrelevant. If you want to talk about a kicker, you want to talk about another position, that's another story, okay? But not this one. I am not buying the Mr. Irrelevant. He did a good job on short notice, okay, against the Dolphins. But then again, the Dolphins, you know, when they see a brand new quarterback, they couldn't prepare for this guy anyways. They didn't see the Jimmy Garoppolo injury coming. So I think, to be honest with you, the 49ers should be happy they have him. But I'm going to throw another thing at you too, Bruce. Okay, Trey Lance, number two pick overall a couple years ago, you might have a possible quarterback controversy if this guy continues to play better. I don't know what's going to happen with Garoppolo. We won't even address it on this broadcast, okay? But you might have a different quarterback controversy than anybody in that area.
So I'm in complete agreement with you. I'm in complete agreement with that.
Well, I know you're in complete agreement. But let's talk about the Iowa Cyclones, okay? Is that considered Mr. Irrelevant or relevant based on those numbers I hit you with?
Okay. Iowa State, he's a Cyclone. He was the stats speak for themselves in college. Right. I was aware of him coming in, and he is probably the best Mr. Irrelevant and again, I don't consider him irrelevant that you've ever had. I'm looking at a game where he's going to win it. I think he's in the right position. He's calm. He looks so ready to go. There's nothing irrelevant about this guy. They're going to win the game.
You ever heard of Christian McCaffrey?
Sure, and he's the perfect. He's the perfect guy to have with him. He's the perfect guy to have with like any second string quarterback because of his versatility. You're not going to throw deep to Christian McCaffrey all the time. He's a great outlet. I think that this is going to be. You can throw short to any of those guys. They can all make plays, and if you want to go 10 yards over the middle or something, then you've got George Kittle. I think it's going to click. I think they're going to win outright. Blow them out, I don't know. I'm looking forward, actually, to this. I'm sorry that Garoppolo got hurt. And I do think I like the poise. He came in there, did his job. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does for the rest of the season. And what else can I say? And you said it all about his college career. This guy's good. This guy's going to do a decent job.
Well, let's break down the keep it simple, stupid, both with baseball and football. And I don't have access to the chat, so I need you to kind of follow through, and then I'll answer everyone that comes that way, if that's all right with you. And then I'll just try to keep it rolling with the comments. Number one, in baseball, okay, the object of the game is to hit the ball, okay? And you know what the object of the game in football is? Move the chains and score touchdowns. So I don't give a darn whether you have to throw screen passes, long passes, run the football. It doesn't matter, okay? Move the darn football is what you got to do and hit the ball, okay? Now, obviously, a lot of people can't do it very well, okay? It's a certain skill level. But that's where we're at. So, so what else do our callers have out there? Throw it my way. I'm ready. I'm all charged. I've had my diet Mountain Dew for the day. I don't really, frankly, care. I feel bad that I'm going to need a new roof on my house today because I'll be on the road next week for a while. But what else we got, Bruce?
Okay. We've got Albert from Poway saying Chargers, Patriots, Giants, my trifecta tomorrow. Really? I think Patriots have the schedule in front of me. I should be trying to read it. My eyesight's going on. Oh, the Chargers have got
Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. My eyesight's going here.
Mine's already there. I already had cataract surgery.
I'm going to have it. So my thoughts on that are I think the Dolphins get revenge on that game, or they're going to be mad.
I see Miami winning tomorrow.
Yeah, I do too. Chargers just don't quite have enough. And I do like Justin Herbert, et cetera. Excuse me, et cetera. But I think Miami gets their offensive gear and takes that game, and what do you think? You think your Dolphins going to do it in that? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Mark? Bruce, I'm sorry. Mark, I'm thinking of Mancini. Yeah. I don't know why Mancini's always my mind for whatever cotton picking reason, but that's right. Mancini's a brother from another mother. That's what he is, so whatever. But as far as the Dolphins and the Chargers, we can't fail to look as this is a battle of Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert, the number 5 and 6 picks overall, which is why this game got flexed. And it's one of those types of games where you could have had this guy or you could have had that guy, and now Tua is performing pretty well. So I would give Miami the advantage here. I think that there will eventually be a coaching vacancy with the L.A. Chargers. I really do. I don't know. Their current coach isn't doing anything to excite me at all. And I think the Mike McDaniel-Tua combination is working out really well. I really like what we're seeing there. So I would definitely, by all means, give the Dolphins the advantage here.
Yeah, I agree with you with the Chargers guy. I thought he's taking unnecessary gambles and sometimes that have cost him games, or at least he did a lot more last year. So we're going to the Giants and the Giants and the Eagles. I have to go with the Eagles on that. I wasn't sold on them when they were 8-1 or whatever. They had their little, we barely beat Indianapolis and lost to Washington. There's no way the Giants are going to do it. I think there's, Saquon Barkley. I kind of think of Daniel Jones, the paper tiger. The Philadelphia juggernaut, I think, is going to take care of business there. You?
Oh, I mean, I can't go against the Eagles. Are you kidding? No way, man. I'm not going against them. I don't have a lot to say. All I can say is Jalen Hurts is getting a whole lot better. And the Eagles are going to be a juggernaut. I think the only real threat they have there might be the Dallas Cowboys, but that should be decided in the coming weeks, sure. So, yeah, I like the Eagles. You know, this is the second year under a coach, and Jalen Hurts is getting better. What else is there to say? I mean, the Giants came off of a tie against the Commanders is what they did. So, but, I'll save my voice for other stronger games than this. I think this is pretty – now, again, I've been wrong before. The Lions walked in there and beat the Giants. For all we know, the Giants may walk in there and take care of business with the Eagles because they desperately need it. It is a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley looking for a little bit more money. So a win here against the Eagles might strengthen their checkbook a little bit.
Yeah, and the Patriots-Arizona isn't really that worth that much about commentating on because those are both teams that are not going to go anywhere. I'm going to just say Arizona because they're the home team, and that's that for that. I don't really have much to talk about in that game.
Right.
You too. Okay, we're in agreement.
Yeah. Well, here, so tell me that game. What is there really to talk about in that one? But I want to hear it anyways. What the heck? You brought it up. Go ahead.
I didn't bring it up. Albert from Poway did.
So let's go out there and acknowledge these people because they're the ones who make us as famous and popular as we are. How's that, Bruce? All right. We're talking about the New England Patriots. Yeah, I mean, hey, you can't bite the hand that feeds you, right? Come on, Bruce. That's how we all do things.
Okay,
right?
I'm not biting.
Patriots in the
country. Okay.
All right.
I'm going with Arizona because they're at home.
Are you going to put your
Mac Jones doesn't
Patricia?
Do it for me.
Patricia doesn't. You're talking about a Lions guy. You know, one of my guys on one of my shows, Bruce. Okay, to me, called Matt Patricia, Matt Patricia. So if that's he might end up getting that thing out. Matt Patricia, one of the guys, I'm going to tell you, Bruce, in my system here, I got a lot of good, talented guys in my system. And you know what? I love the guys I'm bringing on here. But Matt Patricia, to me, in Arizona, definitely Arizona's the place where they're going to end the season here in the Super Bowl. But neither of these two teams are getting to it, so it doesn't make a lick of difference. And Monday night, to be honest with you, Bruce, okay, I'm filled with broadcasts, so I really don't pay much attention to that game anyway. That's one of my big broadcasts.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I also wonder, wasn't Matt Patricia the defensive coordinator for a while? Why would you even switch him over to that?
And you know what, Bruce? He wasn't any good there either. 27 points a game. Oh, come on, Bruce. Really, dude? I mean, you know, let's face it. He gave up a lot of points as defensive coordinator. Now you think he could do offense well? Okay, you know, tis the season to be jolly, except when you got him on your staff.
Okay, now we're going to switch. We've got somebody who has a plethora of things, and one of these I won't even pretend to know anything about because I'm not a very good hockey guy. We got Danny from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. He has a plethora here. The Coyotes ending 19-game winless streak to the Bruins last night. Portugal losing, of course, and of course Brazil, and the Phillies being the biggest winners in the baseball meetings, which I am in agreement with in a sense. It looks like it's going to be a battle between them and the Mets, where you've got Scherzer and Verlander going off against Trey Turner and Bryce Harper. So here's what I want
you to do, Bruce, okay? What I want you to do, let's practice this exercise because you know how much I love being on here. Let's take them one topic at a time, okay? Don't hit me with a lot of them at one time because, you know, I want to process this stuff, okay? It's called processing it and digesting it. Take them one at a time, and then we'll just go from there. And whoever's saying what, let's give them their due. All right, first one. Go ahead.
First one, the Coyotes, this is going to be all you. The Coyotes ending their 19-game winning streak, to the Bruins. It's all you. I'm not good enough on hockey to even comment.
Yeah. What did they do, win, or did they go ahead and tie or all time? That's what I need to know. All right, let's have some fun. That is funny. I don't know. They're dormant anyways. They ended up winning the game over in a 5,000-seat arena. Oh, my God. All right. Ever hear of the Houston Aeros? If they don't get their stadium, they may be the Houston Aeros down the road. So we'll see. They beat the Boston Bruins in a 5,000-seat college arena. Wowee kadawee. Okay. And they're arguably perhaps, I think, the worst franchise in pro sports. I'd have a hard time dealing with a franchise worse than this one. I mean, the Boston Bruins on the West Coast, that's okay. But a 5,000-seat stadium, boy, that really breaks my heart. Sorry, because I used to live in Arizona, and I know that Arizona could support the NHL when they get the right building and they get the right ownership. It's just a shame that the Arizona Coyotes are absolutely horrible. Next subject.
Okay, and Coyotes, after all, are scavengers. So we have...
I'll take your word on that.
Well, let's start with the Phillies thing. I mean, that was an interesting signing there. Trey Turner, of course, being the great player that he is, that's a nice 1-2 punch there. I see that Mets Phillies matchup in the East being very, very, very good. The pitching, the old twosome there versus these new guys. I look forward to that as far as the season that goes on.
Well, here's my take on the Phillies, okay? They finished in third place and got to the darn World Series. And you know what? If I were a pitcher, I would go ahead and load up on headache medicine because you're going to get a migraine every darn time you face that lineup, okay? As if you think that they got to the World Series, okay, with a third-place team, the chances of them getting there is a whole lot better with the changes that Dave Dombrowski and company made over there, so... you know, I don't gamble, Bruce. I don't. I have better things to do with my money than gamble, okay? But if I were a betting man, I think between the Mets and the Phillies, it's going to be pretty interesting next year up I-95.
Indeed. Indeed it is. And we're going next. We have Gary from Marlboro, Massachusetts. Oh, God. You'll laugh at this. New England's going to take out Miami when they come up here.
Laugh at that because the Miami Dolphins struggle in cold weather. They really do. So I don't know if I would laugh as much as you might want to think I would. The Dolphins, to me, to make the playoffs, have to go ahead and win one or two cold weather games. They just simply have to do it. And obviously, they're on the West Coast these past 2 weeks, where they were up in San Francisco, and now they're down in L.A., right, to play the Chargers. And, of course, we know here in southern Florida they go out there to me, and they have a prohibitive home field advantage. And you know why I can say that? Because when I go to Hard Rock / Joe Robbie Stadium, the Dolphins are a little bit more, you know, enclosed with the shade of the stadium where the opponent is really more directly in the sun, and that tends to wear them down. So we know the advantage. And let me tell you, I'm just covering the Miami Hurricanes, and I've covered Dolphins games there, but more Hurricane games. But the reality of the situation to me is the Dolphins have to prove that they can win in cold weather climates. Because I tell you, the deeper you go into the playoffs, cold weather will play into effect. Example number one, Buffalo gets cold. Example number two, Kansas City can get really cold, right? And then example number three, Cincinnati gets cold. I don't see, to me, any of those three places being an easy situation. You follow me? So they better be able to, if the Dolphins want to play fewer games on the road in cold weather, they better take care of business now or it's going to be a tough, it'll be hard for them to go very deep into the playoffs. But no, I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think that this guy is as unrealistic as you may think he is. I think he may be a little bit closer on target than most people think. So.
All right. And of course, he's from Marlboro, Massachusetts. And you're correct. I just think that Cincinnati and Buffalo are much, much better teams. Well, that's kind of obvious, but we'll see. So we have another one, and that's one that we can both go on. So the Raiders suck. They blow a lead to the Rams. Now,
right.
I am no longer a Raider fan. They moved from Oakland, et cetera, et cetera. I find it hilarious. He's not going to get fired, but this is kind of more proof of Josh McDaniel just not being that good. And they threw the ball fewer times than they should have, especially when the offense was sort of starting to click between Carr and Devontae Adams. They've won three straight. Everybody, and this always happens with Raider fans, starts beating their chest and saying, okay, they're going to blow through the Rams and make it till the playoffs. This, I think, is the nail in the coffin for the playoffs. They're not going to make it. I mean, most 5-8 teams don't do that later on. McDaniel's future there, I think, is secure only that Davis has made so many moves in coaching, overpaying players, et cetera, that there's no way that McDaniels does not get a second season. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, number one, you're right, okay? You want to see them pay Gruden and McDaniels in successive years? I don't think they're going to do it. I think Mark Davis is simply broke. Okay, number two, maybe you should give the Rams a little credit for what you need to do, Bruce, and I don't know where Mark's mind is because he doesn't like L.A. anyways, even though he lives there, but I think you have to give Baker Mayfield his due. And the fact that this guy came off the airplane within 48 hours, got a fresh start, is going to get revitalized under Sean McVay. And to me, you want to talk about Hollywood endings? This is a good story that happened on Thursday night. Amazon finally got a game with a little bit of drama and a very nice ending. So I am actually and I made a comment earlier in the week on the Sports Exchange that I thought Baker Mayfield was a bust. And up to this point, I still think that he is. However, you only bring in the bus label when the career is over. I'll tell you why. You can't predetermine it within a few years. Now, obviously, being a Raiders area, we know that Jim Plunkett didn't start out as good with the New England Patriots, but how did it work out when Jim Plunkett went to the Raiders? Did he win a couple Super Bowls? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
And he obviously, you had Bay Area ties. Being with Stanford University, I believe he was a Heisman Trophy, and I'm not going to get into
that. He was.
Yeah. So,
yes,
he was. You know, so he wasn't a bust. I mean, he just needed a place that can put him in a position to win is what he had to do, and as a result, it worked out, I think, pretty well. I think what you need to do and everybody else is get Baker Mayfield a whole lot of credit for what happened there. The guy drives the length of the field with an abbreviated playbook with 145 left to go, I believe, and a 98-yard drive. And to me, it was just unbelievable. And, you know, I mean, I like Sean McVay. Well, I've only been here. He's only been here 5 or 10 minutes. That's pretty good stuff by McVay, you know. Everybody thought maybe he'd probably retire. But you know what? This is the one thing to me where he could stay interested in with the Rams by revitalizing this guy's career when Matthew Stafford doesn't play again. So I think it's a good story. One thing I should point out, though, too, Bruce, is I believe the Raiders have lost four games where they led by double digits, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
I'm almost sure I heard
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, I have nothing against Baker Mayfield. I do actually give him credit. And He was just barely under 500 as a starter as Cleveland. I wouldn't even call him a total bust. And I think he was put under pressure in Cleveland. I mean, look at all those commercials he was getting before his career barely started. So I have nothing but love for Baker Mayfield. I hope he does well.
Right.
In fact, I was surprised that the 49ers did not snatch him that quick. The Rams made the right move.
But they couldn't, Bruce. Come on, okay? The 49ers were 25th on the waiver wire. How are you going to snap them up 25th when the Rams are 4th? Doesn't work, bro. You can't. Well, it's not
true
that they didn't want to. They couldn't. You got to look at the pecking order when you judge these waiver claims. That's what you have to do. And, again, as we talked earlier in the show, Bruce, okay, Brock Purdy is no Mr. Irrelevant, okay? And
Iowa State
– so they made out all right. They did the best they could. I don't see Garoppolo definitely playing the rest of the year with a broken foot, but we'll see. And Trey Lance has been a bust to somebody because you haven't seen him on the field much.
Okay, and you are correct there. We'll see about Garoppolo. I think that this is probably he's done in San Francisco at this point. It's too bad. That was a very unfortunate injury.
Right.
And also, Gary, the Celtics will get revenge tonight in Oakland. I'm going to go ahead and answer this one. That's possible.
Sure.
They're on a major roll. What happened with the Warriors in Oakland, or in Utah rather, where they lost a game on the last play, and my jaw dropped. We snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. The one thing that's going to happen with the Celtics is what the Warriors came out of with that game is a breakout game by Jonathan Kuminga. He looks like he's going to be a superstar in this league. And with Steph, if Steph and Draymond were back for this game, which I think they might be, and I'm sure they will be. Actually, I think they want to draw the fans to this one. I think that the Warriors do stand a chance in beating the Celtics. I saw Kuminga play the perfect game against Utah. It was incredible. Their faith in him is not misplaced. He's going to cause the Celtics trouble.
All right. Well, the only thing I'll say about the matchup is in Boston, Golden State doesn't have a prayer. But the fact is, the Golden State Warriors can win at home, and they can't win on the road. My Detroit Pistons beat them. And what is their record on the road? I think that's what you have to look at the Golden State Warriors.
2-11 is not
right.
good.
So there
it's
you go.
Good.
So what's their record at home?
I don't think they lost one game at home. Everything they won other.
Okay,
I think it's 12-1.
All right, so there you go. So if you're looking at this as the ultimate no-brainer, yeah, all you have to do is compare the road and the home contest, I would say it would be safe to say that what you're saying is on target. I think you're right there, but you never know, though. The Boston Celtics are a team that could walk in there and have that little taste of revenge, and they may walk into Golden State and beat the Warriors. You know, again, I think they're talking about a 2.5-point spread there with Boston getting it. So, you know, but again, I don't even know how much that value point spreads in the NBA, let alone anything in the NBA anyway.
Points get scored too quickly in the NBA for me to think about point spreads.
I only brought it up because I'm looking at the game itself right now and trying to justify a fact to see where you are with this whole thing. And this thing's a little bit – a 2.5-point favorite being the road team, it's certainly worth mentioning and let our listeners go out there. And I feel free to comment. What you should ask the listeners to do is go out there and ask them what they think about point spread in the NBA, and hopefully somebody will listen to what I'm saying and then comment.
Well, maybe somebody will call in on that, on the point spread. So, we're getting back to the NFL. What do you think Dallas is going to get in? I do. On the playoffs?
Well, I mean, you said the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely believe they'll get in the playoffs. The question is where they're going to be seated. Look at the records, okay, Bruce? Okay, right now the Philadelphia Eagles are 11-1, okay, and the Cowboys are 9-3. It really be a wild card.
Yeah.
And if I really want to get detailed about it, I challenge any person out there listening to the show that both the Eagles and the Cowboys can score a lot of points. They're pretty even in that sense. The Eagles, to this point, have scored 338 points and have only yielded 226. And the Cowboys, by the way, I like the Cowboys number, 333. A few people don't know that 33 is my lucky number anyways, but and they've only given up 206. So if you compare, and they're both sitting on three-game winning streaks to make matters even more interesting. So they can score points, and their defenses are halfway decent. So, yeah, they'll get in the playoffs. The question is, will Dak Prescott have a Dak moment and collapse in the playoffs? And will they fall apart because of penalties and lack of discipline? Well, you know, I think Mike McCarthy has to win a couple games to keep his job anyways. I don't – the Philadelphia Eagles coach, Nick Sirianni, doesn't have to worry about that.
No, not a thing. Not a thing at all. And, well, you come up with something here in the NFL. You got something that you think is, you know, kind of interesting here? Because that seems to be panning out pretty obviously to me.
As a matter of fact, I'm glad you asked me that question, okay? Why are we making so much fuss about Odell Beckham Jr.? Now he says he don't want to play in the regular season. Well, you know what, Odell? Too bad, so sad. As far as I'm concerned, if you're not worried about playing in the regular season, nobody is looking for a guy like him to go out there and play in the playoffs. And I think what the Dallas Cowboys did the whole league a lot of favors, saying, hey, he didn't pass the eye test in terms of his physical, so quit pursuing this guy. Let him get fully healthy and focus on 2023. This is a story which, in my opinion, is a non-story is what it is. But unfortunately, in the reality that we have to deal with is with new media, Bruce, okay, and Mark, I'm sure you're taking this in on the back end too, that new media, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's just whatever, allows too much of this garbage that we dwell on it. To me, the Odell Beckham Jr. story is a non-story. It really is. Until this guy puts on the pads and he's healthy, Dallas Cowboys didn't do him wrong. Reality is, if you're going to spend X amount of dollars on the guy, you don't want damaged goods that you're waiting into 2023. Either you're ready to play now or you're not. And just sit it out, rehab yourself, and then we'll deal with it then. The Dallas Cowboys protected their business interests. I know Jerry Jones wanted them there. And as a result, he had every right to go out there and check him out. And just because the medical people say, Jerry, I don't think so. Okay, I respect that. Say what you want about Jerry Jones, but if you're an owner and you're spending X amount of dollars on a guy, don't you have the right to go out there and say, no? Nah. And I'll tell you what, he did the Buffalo Bills and he did the New York Giants a lot of favors. So, you know, the only thing I'll say, Odell, get over it.
I agree, and I think it's your ego has to be out of sorts to even sit there and strut around like this. I'm in complete agreement with you. I don't think he should even be playing this year.
Well, here, you want another NFL story? I'll throw this one by you that I'm looking at. Cam Newton says he's better than every quarterback in the NFC South. Big deal. You probably are. Hey, the Carolina Panthers thing didn't work out very well. So let's go out there and talk about the NFC South, can I? Okay. He's going to sit here, everybody. Oh, so Cam, you're better than Tom Brady. You might actually have a case in Atlanta, okay, because Marcus Mariota, and now they're going to Desmond Ridder. And, of course, you already did the Carolina Panthers thing. So what's left? New Orleans, then? Well, maybe they'll give you a chance in the offseason. But to me, Cam, you're out there looking for work. Maybe somebody will get desperate. I don't know. But I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, because if he was as good as anybody in the NFC South, don't you think somebody would have picked him up by now? That's what I think. Go ahead.
Yeah. And we have Cincinnati catching Baltimore to take the division. What do you think? I think it's possible. I think Cincinnati's going to win it.
I don't think there's any question in my mind. I believe in Joe Burrow. I really do. This guy is Joe Cool. You know, I always talk about the runner-up having a hangover. Well, no, not this one. Joe Burrow's a stud. He'll end up, I predicted within 2 or 3 years, that he'll actually be better than Josh Allen and I believe Patrick Mahomes. All this kid has to do is keep winning. And he even said during the week, Bruce, that, you know, hey, you know what? This is the time. We know what time of the year is. And now he's got Jamar Chase and he's got some pretty good weapons, Joe Mixon on there. So I like Gerald Burrow, and I do believe that they're going to overtake Baltimore. I have no doubt in my mind. Let's not concentrate on the fact that everybody's saying that to me. You know, Lamar Jackson, he bet on himself, and I think he'll ultimately get his money. But let's not forget Joe Burrow. This kid's a stud. He won a national championship over at LSU. And you know what? He took the Bengals to the Super Bowl, and now they're playing well at the right time.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And I think he's got – I think Cincinnati has more weapons, to be honest.
Yeah, of course they do. The Baltimore Ravens traded one of their best receivers, Bruce, in the offseason, man. So you're going to sit here and tell me that you trade a wide receiver and you're surrounding Lamar Jackson with a weapon? No.
No. No, no, not there. Not there. You want to move over to college?
Well, I don't know. Keep diving into the chat room, and then we could go over to the other places. These people are more important than what our opinions are. Just keep seeing what other stuff you got in the chat room, and then we'll dance over to the college. How's that sound?
Well, that sounds fine. And there's still a little baseball, but nobody else is calling in, so it's just you and me, bro.
Well, that's okay with me, Bruce. I just want to make sure that our people know that we care about them. And if it's me and you, I got no problem with that either. I told you, I enjoy talking sports with you.
Do we see the Commanders getting in? There's another team that's gotten interesting. I thought they should have had to win that game.
You're talking the Washington Commanders, right?
Yep.
Yeah, well,
yes.
And Daniel Snyder we don't trust, but in Ron Rivera we do trust. So,
I'm with you.
I mean, I actually in this game with the Commanders, I'm looking at it right now on my screen, and the way I look at these guys is give me a moment while I evaluate it before I go ahead and talk about it.
They've got a bye week.
Well, then guess what? They won't lose.
No. Yeah, I like their chances. I thought they should have taken that game, but they were in New York. I prefer them to New York, but it's going to be interesting. You've got having a division where everybody's over 500 is nice to see.
Well, I think they're a good story. Number one, Ron Rivera shouldn't have to go out there and be part of an organization where he's got to help rebrand the team by coming up with a name. Two, he has to be front and center with Daniel Snyder's toxic, idiotic behavior. This guy's only been hired to go out there and coach the game of football and try to lead this team. So for Ron Rivera to have to go ahead and be a part of all this dysfunction is a joke in the first place, and yet he's finding a way to win with the team that he has. So, you know, if there's ever a guy, I don't know if he'll ever get coach of the year, but my God, he should get man of the year, you know, as far as coaching of the year in terms of humility and what he's had to do. Ron Rivera, to me, I'm not a fan of anybody, and I never will be because I really don't care. People are people. But I will tell you, though, I certainly respire the daylights out of the Commanders. I really do. And Ron Rivera particularly. Ron Rivera won it. Carolina, I think the worst mistake the Panthers made is they let him go. And he had to deal with the quarterback situation between the Carson Wentz and Taylor Heineke. He's handled that very well. So it'll be interesting. And I know they have a young developing quarterback along the way. So, if I care to pull for the Commanders, then it'll be because of Ron Rivera, not because of existing ownership. Go ahead.
Ron Rivera, he's been around most of my life. He's Cal linebacker, a Bear who was drafted by the Bears. I like calm coaches who seem to have the respect of the players, and there's not a bunch of screamers. Yeah, the Daniel Snyder thing he didn't ask for, and let's hope that Snyder sells the team and the next owner has the gumption. Well, I shouldn't say gumption. Sense to keep him around for a while. I really like Ron Rivera. Go Ron Rivera.
I don't think there'll be a question about that, Bruce. And let me go ahead and tell you why. Number one, any new owner that has a good coach, that's what they're looking for. But Ron Rivera isn't so much just a coach. he's a figurehead in that organization, a very respected one. His players love the guy. So, yeah, the only time that an owner would walk into a situation and remove the coach is if they're a bad team. But if you've got something good going, then you keep it. And I think the next owner that does walk in here will exactly. I don't do that. I have no problem with that at all. I don't think anybody that knows anything about sports, let alone football, would either. So,
okay. Well, here we go. Here we go. We've got Harold from Visalia, California. Wow. He doesn't like anything here. He says, as far as Rivera, he sucks and he did nothing in Carolina. Harold, he went to the Super Bowl with Carolina. He's winning in Washington. Well, we've just discussed Ron Rivera. I don't know whether we even respond to that.
Well, I can respond to that. He probably had a little bit of Tangeray and tonic last night, forgot to go on Google to go ahead and look up the information. You know, if that isn't good enough, maybe he had a heavy-duty frozen margarita, and I'm not promoting alcohol here on a general sports show, but he must have been drinking something because he wasn't on Google. That's a darn sure looking up this guy's track record. So, yeah, you know, Ron Rivera's a winner, and this guy, well, all I can say is thanks for chiming in and fueling up my fire to say you don't quite get it.
And he's also saying watch out for the Eagles. They're very tough. Well, their record says so, doesn't it? Yes, they're very tough.
Okay. Yeah, they have a 9-17 winning percentage. I'd like to think that's pretty good. You know, I mean, 338 points, 4-1 in their last five games. They won three. Eagles are flying pretty good right now. Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
I think there's no question they're the team to beat. Go ahead, continue your thought.
Yeah, I will be honest. I even might have even said it on the show last week that with the 5.5, I would have taken Tennessee. Grinding it out. I didn't expect that blowout to happen. And I think that blowout actually is what cost the general manager his job there. Although I think it was kind of bubbling beneath the surface. And I think it's going to be good for Tennessee that Vrabel probably has more input. I like Vrabel, but yeah, that AJ Brown trade was a disaster. They don't have anything at wide receiver that's going to scare anybody. They win in a division that's, well, let's face it, crappy. I felt a little sorry for Vrabel, but he's going to get to the playoffs. He's going to stay there. Good move to fire the GM there. That AJ Brown trade, as soon as he made it, it was almost as bad as Bill O'Brien trading DeAndre Hopkins. One of those things where you just knew that guy was not going to last.
Right.
You think so? Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll hold my thought. I need to see more about this before I go ahead and talk further on it. But I do want to go – what I want to do is I want to go into the NCAA football. I think a couple of interesting things took place during the week. Number one, Jim Leonard's going to leave Wisconsin after the bowl game. More power to him. Jim Leonard's a bright young coach. No, you know, he obviously, I think it was like 4-2 with the Badgers. And, you know, he has an upside. You know, I understand why the Wisconsin Badgers elected to go with Luke Fickell. He obviously has a proven track record winning at Cincinnati and was obviously mentored by Urban Meyer. But Jim Leonard, to me, will get another job. I hope he finds a head coaching job. If not, as the Green Bay Packers say, in any sense, get rid of Joe Barry, and then they bring on Jim Leonard as their defensive coordinator. And I know he was offered the job a few years ago before Barry was actually brought on. Let me go over some of the coaching hires. I think that's what we should do a little bit, because that's certainly been something that's been a topic of discussion.
I'm going to let you run with it, my friend. I'm letting you run with it.
That's okay. I'm looking at him right now, and I think that one interesting one that I'm looking at now is Tulsa hiring Ohio State offensive coordinator Kevin Wilson as a head coach. Kevin Wilson had was a pretty good offensive mind. I think Tulsa's looking for anything that they possibly can do to fire up their offense. So that's another one that intrigues me. I know he had a problem getting along with his players, and he was a little too hard of them, but he rehabbed himself at Ohio State, and I think Tulsa's just a desperate program looking to find somebody that can at least move the ball. And, you know, and of course we all know the big news to me obviously is a hiring of Deion Sanders. And, you know, there's nothing like being able to tell you that with Deion Sanders, that he's telling them all, go to the transfer portal. I don't want you anyways. And he actually brought on former Florida Atlantic University head coach Willie Taggart, among other college coaches, to his staff. So there's no question I think he'll win there. But I don't think Deion Sanders last stops at Colorado. I truly believe in my mind that this guy's going to be headed to the NFL within 4 or 5 years. It's a 5-year contract with $29.5 million with a lot of incentives. That's what you have there.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a few more right now. Well, I have another good note out of Miami, though. Will Mallory has been invited to the Senior Bowl, and Will Mallory, to me, is a good tight end that could be, it's not a first-round pick, a second or third-round pick. So watch out for that name as you go out there and look at potential tight ends that could be going. Will Mallory. I've talked to him a few times, one of the nicest kids you'll ever meet. And at our final game here with Miami, when they took on Pittsburgh, okay, Will, I asked him about the question about growing pro, and, you know, he's definitely is looking forward to it. You know, obviously he came off of a lopsided loss to Pittsburgh, but I've seen the progress of Will Mallory, not only as a player, but as a person. So any NFL team that goes out there, to me, and brings this guy on, okay, he's a good pick. All right, go ahead, Bruce.
All right. Well, we've got another fan here, and we're going backwards here. We got Tyler from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I knew this one was going to come. I was not going to discuss it. Well, we have our opinions. Here we go. He's talking about LeBron James ripping Jerry Jones, and he said maybe James is drinking that Tank and Tonic. He loves the praise. Okay, I'm one of those who says, you know, it certainly is a bad look. That was a really lousy time in American history. Yeah, they were, you know, you had to bring in the National Guard to actually get kids to go to school because other kids were just, you know, vicious racists. And yeah, I hear the saying, okay, he was just 15, 14 years old. On the flip side of that, I'm going to be a kind of a devil's advocate in that, you know, the kid who got killed in Mississippi, Emmett Till, he was only 14 or 15 years old. You could say something one way or the other. It's an ugly situation. I don't know what to say about it. I think that there's a point there. I don't know that LeBron James should be the sole commentator on things. I'd rather, as I saw Prescott made a comment, I would think that there would be, you know, why do I have to ask LeBron James? Why is LeBron James the leadership? I'd like to see other people involved, especially in the NFL. So my take on this is I think that it very bad that he was there, very bad look. Whoever dug that one up, boy, did he want to get back at somebody.
Right.
And I don't endorse Jerry Jones. What I think is I would have rather seen somebody besides James comment on it. He was the one who said, why aren't they asking me about it? I think it's for other people besides LeBron James to talk about. I'm not saying he's wrong. There's my take.
I'll give you a real strong take. I understand what Jones did when he was 14 years old only happened, before I was born, okay? So,
yeah, me too.
So you're going to sit here and tell me you're going to bring this thing up now because you were asked questions about Kyrie Cancer Irving, because maybe we can give him, okay, or Kyrie Toxic Irving, who I think should be blackballed from the NBA, and Nike doesn't like him because they dropped him anyways. So here's the deal with LeBron James. You can go out there and criticize Jerry Jones all you want, and you have every right to, based on that incident that happened before a lot of people were born. But, you know, LeBron James once upon a time got in the entertainment business. You know what he did, Bruce? Mark, I know you're listening in the background, okay? He ended up having a TV show called The Decision. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. I'm going to win one. I'm going to win two. I'm going to win three. I'm going to win four and five. Guess what? He only won two, by the way. So here's the deal, LeBron, okay? I understand where you're going with this thing. I'm not going to sit here and excuse Jerry Jones totally about something that happened 50, 60 some odd years ago. But this is definitely an imperfect society. And for you to sit there and criticize a guy when some of your PR leaves a lot to be desired, okay, to me, is something that I don't particularly care for, okay? You out there and have a decision, the decision, as a TV show. But here's the thing, okay, Bruce and Mark, okay? What happened after that was he decided to put his next decision in the Players' Tribune. Much better. Must have been coached pretty well by your PR people, right? Because not a good idea to go back on TV and leave an organization. So, you know, the reality is this, okay? LeBron James is one of the reasons why I don't watch the NBA. I still will never give him the greatest player of all time. I have a lot of other people that I would. And I also appear on a basketball show with another network that talks about old-time basketball. And I can tell you right now that I really enjoy doing it. I don't really do many shows on Sunday night. But this is with another network and that I do a lot of projects with. And you know what? What we talk on that show, Bruce, okay, called Basket Pros, is that we talk about what was good about the NBA. Whether you know it or not, I have a piece of the floor from the Detroit Pistons championship years in my hallway. So if you think I'm going to sit there and tell you that LeBron James is the greatest football player of all time, no. Obviously, he's endured a lot of years. He's certainly durable, and he's done well. And some of the records he's breaking are all well and good, but it's a different league. This league is a soft patty cake league where you get to shoot the ball, where when it was good, you know, after it hit tape delay, okay, you drive to the basket, three-point play, boom, a lot of contact. So, you know, LeBron, keep playing basketball. That's what you should do. I understand your desire to speak up on stronger issues, and I'm okay with it, but you're going to sit here and bring up something that happened 50, 60 years ago, and because you don't want to deal with Kyrie Irving questions. Remember, this same guy, Kyrie Irving, okay, when you and him won a championship, left for Boston, okay, and Boston's known for being a little on the edge side in terms of how they treat minorities, and I don't want to get into specifics that, and obviously, but Kyrie Irving is anything but the guy that I would be endorsing, especially comparing him with Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is a billionaire, okay? The only thing that he's missing in recent years happens to be a championship, you know? And the only reason why he's missing a championship because Jimmy Johnson is the reason he ended up winning three. I don't care about Barry Switzer, who got one gift wrapped by him by Jimmy Johnson. And Jerry Jones, to me, that's where if I'm going to criticize Jones, I'm going to say, why isn't Jimmy Johnson in your ring of honor, and why the heck did you get rid of him? Because you haven't done anything since, not because of an outdated situation. No darn way. So I guess all I'll say out there is, LeBron, shut up and play basketball. I think you're saying that about a lot of players these days.
Yeah, I'm not saying shut up, but I'm saying – It takes a big ego to say that you have to be the guy to be asked about this. I think there's other people that are just important, politicians, owners, people that play within that sport. I mean, your word isn't the end all. I'm not saying I'm disagreeing with ripping him. Right. I'm just saying there should be more voices than just his heard. Who do you like in the playoffs in college? Me personally, I'm rooting for TCU just because it's so different. How about you?
Well, I expect Georgia to take care of business with Ohio State in their backyard, not at their place in Atlanta. So Georgia will beat Ohio State, and I'll go against you on this, Bruce. I'm a Michigan Wolverine, and I expect the Wolverines to go ahead and beat TCU, and then you'll have a pretty good matchup between Michigan and Georgia. I don't think the game will be as lopsided as it was a year ago. I would think that Georgia could win it all, but the Wolverines have surprised a lot of people. First 13-0 record in program history. So the way I look at it is that. So I think you're going to have Michigan and Georgia. And I do believe Georgia will win, but that's one time I hope I'm really, really, really wrong. So.
Yeah, I don't dislike the Wolverines. I just think it's an interesting change of pace to have TCU in there, and I always will root for Michigan over Ohio State anytime.
Let's not lose sight of the biggest thing we have going on in sports tonight, okay? And that way I don't have to people won't say we didn't mention it. How about the fact that you have the Heisman Trophy presentation being handed out tonight? And you know what's so bad about the whole darn thing? You have four quarterbacks and not a running back or anybody else. So this obviously is a quarterback award. And by the way, for whatever it's worth, Troy Aikman didn't win a Heisman Trophy. And how did his career turn out? How the heck in the most prestigious award and you pick four quarterbacks? That's probably my reason why I won't watch it, because I think it's an absolute first-class joke. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And when you can talk about quarterbacks that have won Heismans, who went in the pros. Gino Toretta, Pat Sullivan, come on. That does not,
well,
that
like
does not make you.
I got to tell you, it's funny how you bring up Pat Sullivan, though, because I did see a TCU game many years ago when I was covering the Lions and the Dallas Cowboys, and it just so happens that Pat Sullivan was the head coach at TCU. Again, I bought a ticket outside. It was something I didn't expect to do, and it was neat. I was able to watch a game over there. But yeah, but Heisman Trophy, to me, is the most overvalued, overrated trophy on the planet. And tonight, I'm going to go out of my way not to watch it.
You and me both. And,
it doesn't hurt that my wife's Christmas party is tonight, but even if she didn't have one, I wouldn't go anyways. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and this is a local one for me here. Dan from Modesto, California, Correa, going to the Giants, calling my shot. I wouldn't mind it. And they're talking about moving one of my favorites, the best Giants shortstop as far as I'm concerned in history, Brandon Crawford, going over to third. I don't mind the idea, but and this is probably something that you would comment on too, Scott. They're looking for these contracts for so many years that it's just ridiculous. I'm an executive. I'm not talking about some 10-year gigantic contract. You know, when you're approaching 30, this seems to be what they're all asking for. I guess I don't know if Scott Boras is his agent or is this his call on that. I'm just against that, and I think that's totally unreasonable of any player to ask of any owner. I mean, 3 to 5, I think, is fine, unless you're 22. And you're an outstanding Cy Younger or MVP or something. What do you think about that? I think it's appalling.
Well, appalling is true, but unfortunately, what you have to remember is last year there was a lockout and nothing was being conducted. So players are rushing to get good contracts before the lockout. So they took what they could get. That's number one. Number two, here's the thing. I don't like a 10-year contract when you hit 30, because the last 5 years or so, it's a bad contract. So what they're doing is they're trying to keep them off the free agent market for a while and get whatever years they can. So I understand the logic, but I don't like the length of the contract. I mean, Trey Turner, what did he get, 11-year, $300 million contract with a no guarantee, no trade clause? It's safe to say, his first trip is to the realtor, because he's not going to get cut or let go, and he better find himself a good suburb in Philadelphia that won't go out there. And it, when his Santa Claus is sitting on the driveway in snow, they won't kick that in. But, sorry, Philly fans, but you've earned the distinction about the Santa Claus thing. So, but with all due respect, that's where you're going with a lot of this. It really is. And if you're going to have long-term contracts, then to me, it's the type of thing that, you have to just go where the market is going to go. Some teams aren't going to spend, and some are going to overspend. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you have to just see where the market is going in baseball, and that's what they do. It just shows you the owners are making a boatload of money, and now the players are definitely going out there and cashing in, and they can't nail them for collusion. There's a lot of different things that you have to deal with along the way. So.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I'm pro-owner. I'm just saying as a business move, it seems
I didn't
ridiculous.
Say I was a pro owner. Anybody. I didn't say I was a pro owner either. All I'm telling you is, you asked me a question. I gave you where I think the market's going, and the owners are going to pay these guys if they want them. And if they don't want to pay them, then these guys will go somewhere else. I mean, just all you need to do, Bruce, is read the darn headlines. You see who's got the money, who's not going to have the money, and you never know what'll happen with the labor agreement.
Okay, so be it. And we are coming to a close. Scott, give them all that valuable information that only you can.
All right. Oh, thank you very much, Bruce. Once again, pleasure to be on here. You can find me over on my South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Please hit the subscribe button, and that way you can see all the shows I have, including the one that Mr. Mancini participates once a week. So it's a fire-up show.
Okay.
And maybe one of these days we'll get you in sync to the camera. But South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, please subscribe. That's what I've got.
All right, and you can reach me, Holy Roller, 91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. Everybody have a nice weekend.
Yep, you too, Bruce. Thank you.